RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantera, and Briarwood.
A hole in one, not big.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Minas.
7 a.m. Good morning. It is Tee to Green every Saturday, 7 o'clock, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks for being with us here in the middle of August as, yes, the golf season is in full swing and heading towards its finale. The final major of the year is in the books, and we'll be talking about that here at some point through the course of the show as we welcome you in this week to our WGR studios. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Midas. Gentlemen, good morning. Kevin?
Morning. I had to GPS the place. We haven't been in here in
a long time.
A long time, yes.
We've been the road show. Our tour has been out and about all over Western New York, and we are here in studio this week. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. It is kind of fun to go see all the other clubs, though. You know, we got to see some really neat, beautiful places this summer and sit on some really cool patios, so I don't mind that.
Absolutely. Last week, we were at the Western New York PGA cabin at Fox Valley Club. It was very nice to be there, but we're here in studio this week. And a chance for us to talk golf for the next hour here, your local spot for golf talk in Western New York right here on Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Michelob Ultra. We'll talk about our Michelob Ultra Golf Challenge.
Do we have
a little
to?
Bit. I think we at least have to mention it. Yeah, Kevin and I had our Michelob Ultra event this week, and it did not go well for us, but
we'll
get to that later.
It's all how you tell the story, though.
We'll tell it well. I'm sure we will, yes. Custom Turf, also one of our presenting sponsors, and our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantera, and Briarwood. We played our event at Tantera, and thanks to Scott Arnold and everybody there for having us out, but since it wasn't great news, we'll push it for later in the show.
Good idea.
Yes, exactly.
How about we do it at 8:05?
8:05, when we're off the air. That's right. Absolutely. Coming up here on the show, we will be reflecting on Justin Thomas's PGA win here. Also, our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week with our pro Jeff Minas. We'll be talking about chipping coming up here shortly. Of course, our check of the Encore Golf and Cobra Puma Golf PGA Tour leaderboard. We'll get our absolute care check of the PGA Tour Champions Tour, see what they're up to. And the ladies are participating in their version of the Ryder Cup this week, the Solheim Cup going on in Des Moines, Iowa. And it's actually, I believe, set to go in about an hour and a half or so. Actually, but just about an hour or so from now. So we'll let you know if you haven't seen that yet. Always fun when it's the United States against Europe. And we'll let you know what's going on there. And we're in the studio this week, so if you've got a thought or a comment on your game, we could actually take a phone call if you'd like, 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. If you want the best advice in Western New York from golf, Jeff Midas is here for you. If you want worldly advice, Kevin Sylvester is here for you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, how to play a lot of rounds of golf in a week, Kev.
I'm exhausted from this week, honestly.
It's a long, you've had a busy week of golf, Kevin.
Yes. 4 to 5 days. For the weekdays I played. Now, if we go back to like a week from today, then it'll be 5 of 7.
All right, well, one more round, you got my yearly total.
All right. I thought pros play golf every day.
Yeah, that's all we do is get up.
Listen, it's tough to do.
right, it is.
Listen, you walked in here like a trooper. You were you're fresh and ready to go for the show, despite your overworked week.
Sure, sure I am. I've been a lot of over things this week. I had my annual physical. I'm over there, something there, too.
So. just start walking when you play. You'll lose all kinds of weight that way.
Mm-hmm. That's right, that's right.
Problem is, I got a bag in one hand and something in the other hand.
True.
That's a little bulge. All right, anyhow.
That's right. Well, let's talk about the PGA Championship. Last week, when we were on the air on Saturday from Fox Valley Club, it was a very jam-packed, tight leaderboard, and there were many storylines to come in between Saturday morning and the finale on Sunday night. But Justin Thomas ends up getting it done as, I don't know if pull away is the word, but I guess was the better player amongst a large group of players in contention. At one point, it was a five-way tie for the lead with the players on the back nine. And, Kev, you know this course, Quail Hollow, very well. It on Saturday, kind of players were getting frustrated. The rounds were very long. Guys could not putt on these greens. But Sunday, the course, I think it was probably about the setup that they were looking for that allowed for some birdies, some excitement, and there was a lot of shakeup up and down on the leaderboard.
Yeah, there was. Rain affected some of the scoring conditions in a good way. So if you caught the draw right, you were able to score for the event. They did, they had five par fours that were over 500 yards. Right, yeah. So many were criticizing the setup of the golf course. Hey, this is too hard for a PGA championship. Jeff kind of winced there, but that was some of the criticism during the tournament. Even the member, Webb Simpson, who belongs to Quail Hollow, said this was too hard for a PGA championship. See, guy belongs there and was commenting on that. So sees it day in and day out. But the course itself, you have to get your scoring done before you head to the green mile, 16, 17, 18. They're not scoring holes whatsoever. And I think you saw that, how it bared out. Justin Thomas, a shot on 17 to seal the deal and put the exclamation point on his championship by making a birdie on 17. Where, trust me, you stand on that tee box, and I played it, you stand on that tee box, you don't even look at the flag. You look at that right hill. That's your aim point right there. For most golfers, and even for many of the pros, the miss is right, and that's where they go. Not him. He took it hard of the green with a little draw on it, hit, 15 feet away and drains a birdie. Might have been a little closer.
Yeah, well, I guess you're trying to win a tournament at that point. You're not trying to not.
But he was in the lead, though.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't need to do it.
You're still trying. You're confident at that point. All you're seeing is your target and where it's going. And if you sometimes when you start to play a little conservative when you're playing that well, you start picking. You start making indifferent swings, maybe. So if you're still trying to make birdie, if you're still trying to lock that thing down, that's. I wouldn't disagree if I was his caddy. Hey, we're gonna fire right at this pin. You've hit shots great. You've been playing great, and he's had a really good year.
So you'll prevent defense then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that kind of theory. I agree, and certainly he's earned his. He's worked his way up, and it's one of those guys that seemed like it was his turn.
Ricky Fowler, by the way, the 17th hole. That's
the reason. Maybe he's not. Talking about him winning.
Yeah. If he doesn't rinse it, it could be a whole different story.
Yeah, his Saturday finish, double bogey, bogey, and with how great he did, he lost by three. There's three strokes there. Again, we know golf doesn't always equate to there's three there. Oh, there's the difference, but boy, it definitely could have been. And with how great he played on Sunday, as we've been saying with Justin Thomas, well, it's about his time. We've been saying this for Ricky Fowler now for the last couple of years, and not to say that he's not going to get it, but now his good buddies are all getting him, and you figure at some point, when does that pressure start to get to him a little? He said all the right things. He was out there on the green with Justin Thomas and was very supportive, but you got to think, Kev, that he is thinking, God, like, this should be me now. This should be me there.
There's been history there for Ricky Fowler, and it made me, now, different scenario, but the Honda Classic back in February, which Ricky won, he had a large lead. And then he, on the tee box and 17 at PGA National, rinses it short, similar, and got up and down for birdie, and then made his par on 18, and he won by three strokes. But it was, one of those things where maybe he was firing at it because he was on all cylinders there. I, The pin was up on Saturday. So I think he's going for it, right? I mean, that's what you have to do. And he didn't hit a great shot.
And that's it. But he keeps knocking on the door. You know, I mean, we're talking about him at every major, it seems now, as being a competitor and a contender in those events. So, you know, what do they say? Jack Nicklaus had more second place finishes than, you know, what's he got? 30 or whatever it was.
Yes,
crazy number of second place finishes in majors. So you just, you know, even the greatest players in the world things got to fall your way. You know, you go out there, you play as hard as you can, and sometimes it works out in your favor, and sometimes you play great and it just doesn't work out. So I'm encouraged. I don't think it's going to, I think he's going to end up getting his, and he's just becoming a better player. Every time you have one of these situations where you're in that cauldron and you hit a bad shot, you learn something about yourself and you learn something about your game, and then you go work on it and you refine it. And the next time you're in that situation, you hit a better shot. You're more confident. You understand your game better. So, and he's one of the best players in the world. So I'm not too worried about him not getting a major. He's still very young. Right, still very, very young.
28.
The staggering stat, by the way, to jump in on the Jack Nicklaus point, 48 times
is it that many?
In majors, he's finished first, second, or third in the top three. 48 times.
And he's 118.
Yeah.
So 30 of them,
he had a chance.
He was right there like Ricky Fowler. Yeah.
Right.
In addition to the 18 he's already won, the other 30. I mean, that's really amazing.
Well, you know what? Jeff brings up a really interesting point, and I think, well, amateur golfers know when you play in your club event, you play, you know, whatever kind of tournament you play in, you look at the field and the depth of field and how many players are in the field, and you look at the PGA Tour. Like, finishing second is not a failure.
No.
You beat 143 guys.
Correct.
Yeah, 143 of the best players in the world that week. Yeah.
You know,
or at the PGA, I think it's 150-something. Yeah.
Well, they do 144 to 154, mm-hmm. You know, in that range. Depends on the tournament. So, when you think about it, not winning, you're in the top. There's a reason why top 10s get invited back for majors every year. There's a reason why that happens. Some top 25, some top 30. There's a reason. That means you played really well. You beat pretty much everybody else except for one guy. Now, you look on the PGA Tour week in and week out, there's always somebody. I mean, try picking a winner every week. Incredibly difficult to do. Like, there's a mix of guys in the majors that we know because of the event and the magnitude of it. But try picking it this week at the Wyndham, right? I mean,
anybody
can get on a run and play great golf in that zone. Anybody in that field.
Yeah, literally, if there's 144 guys, I would say going into the event, 80 of them could win that week.
Absolutely.
You know, I think a bunch of them maybe are struggling with their game or not, but all it takes is two or three good swings or seeing a couple putts go in the hole. And these are the best. There's a little bit of confidence. You know, you play well, and maybe you get a good break and the other guy gets a bad break. But, you know, I think the best players, they focus on the process. You know, like, I got to think of Ricky Fowler is taken from this. Hey, I was in contention again. I'm getting closer. I guess that's how I would think. And then he's motivated for next year. So, hey, I hit these two bad shots or whatever that I, you know, kind of defined my season for me. So he'll spend the offseason making sure he doesn't hit that shot again, or working with an instructor or whatever it is, trying to get better, trying to find that extra shot he needs to break through. And the opportunities will be there for him. He's still, like I said, he's a long way from being done as far as a golfer goes.
What's the more impressive stat? Jack's second place finishes in majors or Tiger's consecutive cuts made streak?
What was his cuts made streak again? It was long. 140?
Yeah,
something?
It's a gazillion. Yeah. Brian, look that one up too, will you?
Yeah. Bring Brian to work. Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. I don't know. That's a very, very good question. It's pretty impressive to week in, week out, be in the top half of the field at a PGA Tour event.
142.
142 in a row.
That's over years. I mean, you're playing,
I think,
20 events a year or something.
You know? I don't have an answer right now.
You never had an off week.
Well, no. Here's the thing.
That's what I'm saying.
But his off week was good enough to make the cut.
Right. There were a couple times where, you know, he would grind to make the cut because he still believed he would win.
Right.
Listen, I'm sure there's players out there who have a bad round. It's not going that way. And, you know, maybe they got a little injury or something. They withdraw because something's not right. Tiger never withdrew because he played hurt. He wanted to make the cut. He still felt he had a chance to win. That's what I think. I don't think it was about the cut streak for Tiger. I think it was he felt, hey, I get to the weekend. I can shoot a low round 2 days in a row and win the thing.
Well, was there a better competitor than Tiger in any sport? Yeah, I don't know. That's a really, really difficult thing to just. So many guys too. If you have a bad first day and you kind of start off sloppy the second day, they're thinking, "Hey, I got the weekend off. I can go see my kids or whatever it is." Tiger's working the opposite way. He's like, "I got to find a way to be here for the weekend," and he always did. And you know, there was no weaknesses in his game. But Jack Nicklaus, you know, that's pretty impressive, too. I guess if I had to take a side, I'd take Tiger's side, just because Tiger was competing against tougher fields. Nicklaus had some very fine players over a very long career that he competed against, but the depth of the field wasn't nearly as good as they are nowadays. Do I sound old when I say nowadays, by the way?
No, it's all right. Brian Koziel, right. Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas here on Tee to Green. We're talking about last week's PGA Championship. If you want to jump in with a thought, 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550. One player I want to get both your reaction on, because I was surprised by it a little, is Hideki Matsuyama after having an outstanding Saturday shooting 64. Of course, the previous week he's coming in one of the favorites after ripping up Firestone and playing so great in Akron at the Bridgestone Invitational. He puts himself in great position going into the weekend. Had an okay Saturday, but late front nine, he's got the lead, and I'm thinking, okay, he's gonna be the winner here today. I didn't take him for being a guy that maybe would feel like maybe conditions or pressure or things would get to him, but he just didn't seem happy the whole round. It was a lot of swings and follow throughs where the one hand would come off the club. And I know that putting isn't his number one get-go, but like those shots that he was sticking, like they were just not there. And I was just surprised with the miss after miss after miss. Maybe I should, in some sense, compliment him the fact that he was still in it and clearly not having his A game, Kev. But this is a guy that we also could throw in the Fowler category of, hey, who's the best player on tour right now that hasn't won a major? And you know, Fowler is clearly there, but Matsuyama is also in that group.
Well, I throw him in the same. He is in that category, and you could argue, is it Matsuyama or Fowler, the best one that, you know, they're the best player
currently on
tour.
Yeah,
they're lead horses right now, for me anyway. Matsuyama and McIlroy, to me, are very similar in that their ball striking is superb, but their putting is average. And the ball striking has to make up for it. You got to hit those tight shots, right, as you're saying.
His great round on Friday, they said all his birdies, the many that he had, all of them were less than 10 feet.
Right. Feet of putts made, right?
This is where Spieth gains ground, because he makes the long ones.
He makes long ones.
Medium lengths even, too.
But
yeah.
You can't just look at that alone. You got to look at the tee to green ball striking. So if you're hitting the ball tight and you only make 80 feet of putts, let's say, it means you're really inside of 10 feet all the time, bang, you know, or even less. So he's not the greatest putter, never has been. But when his ball striking's on, he's nearly unbeatable like he was at Firestone. He was incredible, shooting a 61 in the final round to win that thing. Rory McIlroy, when he wins, his ball striking is phenomenal, driving the golf ball and putting it tight, and then doesn't have to put so much pressure on the putter where he's got to make 18-footers, 20-footers. He's making 10-footers. He's making 6-footers, 7-footers. That matters a lot, and Matsuyama wasn't doing that.
Well, and the stat, I think, on the tour is that PGA Tour players make 50% of their 6- or 7-footers. So
I think it's even 5-footers.
Yeah, it's lower than you'd think for them making that.
I told myself that on Wednesday when I lipped out a 5-footer. Anyways, go ahead.
But you look at a guy like Matsuyama, everything's firing. You know, you could just be off by the hair, the tiniest hair in your motion, and that means instead of a 6-foot uphill or right to left, you've got a 10-foot downhill or left to right, and that putt becomes, you know, a little more difficult to make, and sometimes you just see the putts going in, or sometimes you just see the shots better than you do. And if anybody's feeling pressure, and he's got the pressure of a nation on him, you know. That's and true. You were describing the media, how they cover him and how voracious their appetite is for what he does on the golf course. And so, you know, if those things start to factor in, that can be a distraction. I also think, like him, he's, you know, he is maybe not the greatest putter. He's still, if he's playing with you and I, he's a great putter. Compared to anybody we know. But he's you know, great ball striker, great, you know, great work ethic. He's going to break through someday too. And then you might, you always say, well, once they break through, you'll see great things. Well, they had to do great things to break through also. So, I enjoy watching him play, to be honest. So I'm looking forward to many, many years. How old is Matsuyama? Do we know?
Yeah. He's in his 20s.
He's in his 20s. Yeah. Yeah. He's a big, strong man too.
You know, you mentioned about breaking through, and I just, for some reason, David Duvall came to mind for me because, you know, all those years where, I mean, he was the number one player in the world in the Tiger era. I mean, David Duvall was a great player.
I watched that 59 with the eagle putt on the last to win that tournament. That was awesome.
That was at the Bob Hope, right? And you're wondering, when is he going to win a major? Had a couple close calls with the Masters. Yep. Wins the British Open when it was the British Open. Now it's just the Open Championship. And that was kind of it for him. He'd achieved
what he set out to achieve.
Correct. And you know what he said? There was a lot of emotional baggage with the death of his brother and the guilt that he felt that it was, you know, he's alive, his brother's not, due to disease. Why am I? So all these things, read a long story with him. And he said when he won the British Open, he goes, I didn't feel any different. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of like, oh, well, I just achieved what I set out to achieve and I feel the same.
Yeah, woke up the next morning. Like, right. Oh, well, this should have been life changing.
Yeah, and it wasn't for him. Actually, marriage and being a father was life changing for him. And I think he's an outstanding golf commentator.
Oh, I do too. I love
on Golf Channel. He is great.
Yeah. No, he does a wonderful job. So.
It's also great. He's not afraid to give it back to Brandel Chambly. Well, no, they need that balance.
They do need that.
Right.
I completely.
That's
agree.
What it makes him good.
Absolutely. 7:20 here, the time on TD Green. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. Thanks for being with us here on WGR. Every Saturday, 7 to 8, right here, as we give you your local spot for Western New York talk in golf. We'll have our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week coming up in our next segment as Jeff will break down the keys to chipping the ball well. But just a couple of things here before we go to break. Kev, let's talk about our Michelob Ultra Challenge. First of all, thanks again to one of our presenting sponsors, Michelob Ultra, for doing what now has turned into an annual event where we get to have a contest and two players get to join us for a round of golf. These two players, Nate with a great tweet winning the contest. So he and his guest Mike, the two of them together, played us at Tantera the other day. And kudos to Mike and Nate. They played great. Mike didn't miss a drive all day.
I'll tell you what, yeah,
Nate chips in out for a birdie off the green. Nate makes a great birdie putt.
I hit the ball decently. My distance is pretty good. Your distance is a little bit better than mine. Mike was out driving us. I think mentally, Jeff, we were having difficult time, especially when it was Shamble hitting first.
Yeah,
we're not used to that.
It shouldn't affect anything.
No, I didn't say it should affect anything. I'm just saying it was just demoralizing. I mean, this guy, Mike, was just drilling it down the fairway.
Because Brian can bash it. Brian
hits far. But I wasn't.
Brian I've never seen. I'll say, listen, I don't want to take away from the way they played.
Yes.
Because they played really well. They did. They deserve a ton of credit.
I've never seen Brian. I'll say it for myself. I didn't drive well at all.
No, you drove the ball terribly, and I didn't drive it much better. So there you go.
That's right.
Actually, I'm usually hitting greens, a forte of my game, I think, anyways. And I'm a pretty good putter. I did drain a nice birdie, but our only birdie, which is the problem. You got to make birdies to win match play.
And then they answered with a birdie.
And then they answered, boom. And then they chipped in for birdie in the next hole. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I couldn't find a green either. So it was we were equal.
We were equal to blame.
I think if we were playing well, they still would have beat us. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, they're great. But our friends at Michelob Ultra, we hope that Mike and Nate had an enjoyable day.
Oh, sure. And, they did. I know they did.
Well, they won. It's always more fun.
Well, I mean, I know. Beating us, playing with us, what could be more? I know that Michelob Ultra provided some great stuff for him.
If you didn't see
the tweets, they got hats.
Some slick golf bags, by the way.
And those awesome stand bags, some towels, and it was a really, really good time. Mike, during the course of his round, wanted to remind me that he said that he tweeted at me that he picked Justin Thomas. So apparently Mike was on his game all week.
Jeez, I did pick Thomas on Sunday.
You did.
Sunday morning, I tweeted out. I said, I'd love to see Kisner win because he's a really good guy. I was there for his first one at the RSM Classic, and it was just great. you know, it was a small event, and afterwards he's like, you know, shaking hands with us and just celebrating, you know, his first win. And I wanted to see him win, but I tweeted out, I said, but Justin Thomas will be really tough today. And he was.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, had I picked him a week before, then I would have really looked good.
That's right.
But I had Fowler, so, you know, he rinsed it.
So, congrats, Mike and Nate. Thanks again for playing with us. And next year, if you want to be part of our Michelob Ultra contest, Kevin, I'm sure it'll be back, right?
We're working on it
to have it come back again.
Yes.
Yes.
And B, we're checking handicaps next year.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Handicap event. No,
you didn't check his handicap? There's an online app for that.
That's right.
Nah, it was only a couple stroke difference. It was pretty even.
That's right.
We play. Listen, forget how we played. They played great.
They won.
They played great.
They won it.
I don't think they were going to lose to anybody that day. That's how good
they played. Great. Absolutely.
Freezer thanks to. Thanks. Well, okay. Next year, yes. I'll get Tim. We'll get Tim Freeze.
That's right. Thanks to Scott Arnold and everybody at Tantera as well for being gracious hosts.
Brian, thank you for lunch. By the way, Brian bought me lunch that day. Thank you.
Yes,
and an excellent recommendation on that chicken sandwich.
It was good.
Outstanding.
Chef's doing a great job over at
Tantera. That was awesome. Right.
As you can see by my
something I never would have ordered.
Here.
Never would have ordered, and.
I'm looking out for you. You said you had your physical later that day.
Yeah.
I said, get some vegetable on the chicken.
It was fried, but hey.
It was fried avocado.
It was excellent.
I think it cancels, right? The avocado's really good for you. The fried's really bad. It's kind of like when I go through the drive-thru and they're like, do you want a jumbo size? And I say yes. I'm like, but Diet Coke?
That's right. Exactly.
It cancels.
Very similar.
That's right. You give me the super shed, but I'm going to eat half.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was my Jeff Meadis voice.
That's right. Hey,
is that what I sound like?
The commercials you do, you break out in that voice. People don't know this behind the scenes. Jeff will, when you want to say something that like Jeff normally wouldn't say, but other people would say, you break out in that voice.
That's right. That's right. Hey, before we go to break, if you're having all these conversations, hearing about great rounds with great friends and fun, you can plan a golf trip, Kevin. Golf Away Tours.
Yes.
One of the friends of our show here is the spot to go to here. If you're maybe thinking about, well, we can't play golf in the winter, but maybe we can schedule something to do with my buddies and plan on something in the South. Or, you know what, maybe for next summer we can get something going overseas. It's
absolutely
not too late to do any of that.
Yeah, if you're looking to go to Scotland to play, and who isn't, frankly, Golf Away Tours, TJ Rule will set that up for you. GolfAwayTours.com. And Ireland, I went on a trip last October. I can't believe we're coming up on a year almost with that trip with Golf Away Tours. And it was superb. The pictures I took on my phone are great. They're my screensavers on my computer at home. Just rifling through and I look at it. We're actually talking about a little reunion golf outing coming up here with the guys. And Gail went on that trip. By the way, Lindsay was the best golfer on the trip. Every round was in the 70s.
Okay.
Over, yeah. Outstanding player. Iron Lady Golf. You can check her out. She teaches up in Canada. She's outstanding. But Golf Away Tours. Check them out. And they go. You want to go somewhere warm? Dominican Republic. They set up a lot of trips there. Anywhere you want to go, they'll set it up for you. Take care of everything. It's fantastic.
Beautiful. 7:26. We'll take a timeout. We'll get Jeff Meadis's PGA, Western New York PGA, tip of the week when we return on chipping. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, and Jeff Meadis. We're back with more Tee to Green right after this on WGR. As you heard there, it is time for our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA Growing and Giving Game. And before we get our tip in, since it's Western New York PGA segment time, we should congratulate again Tim Freeze for continuing his phenomenal year. He joined us last week live from Quail Hollow at the PGA Championship. He's working hard, takes a flight back to Buffalo, is playing in Rochester, shoots 69 on day one, and goes on to win on a playoff hole. And he's the section champion. And again, Kevin, I texted you about this. He's joined our show on a Saturday twice now within the last month or so. And then the next Monday, he goes on and wins. I'm sensing a little tee to green karma here.
Yeah, he's got the tarma going.
That's right.
Yeah, just being around us makes people better
golfers.
It's
not that he's a good golfer at all. It's talking to the three of us is what's really inspiring.
I just made up a word, by the way. Tarma.
No,
green karma.
I heard
tarma.
What you did there. I like
get
it.
The tarma for your golf game.
Jeff,
copyright that.
I will. I know you and Freezer are close. He is locked in right now. Do you think hanging out at the PGA all week, I mean, could have helped him? I mean, somebody even asked me this. Like, hey, are you watching those guys play all week? I mean, does that help you? Not only, maybe it inspires you to play, of course, but.
I would certainly, yeah, because I know, I mean, Tim and I have done this 1,000 times. You know, you're watching good players swing, and you're picking up on the nuances and the things that they do, and you're looking for patterns amongst the best players and things that they all do. And sometimes that can trickle down to your game. You see, you may pick up a little something from watching a really good player hit balls on the range for a while, and you go out and try it in the morning. Hey, you know, this is something I used to do, and I'm going to try to get back to it a little bit more. But in Tim's case, he's always been a very, very good ball striker. He hits it as well as many tour players. And he had lost his confidence with his putter years ago, and he seems to be through that, no problem. But yeah, he's playing very well. He's just always been a great player. The thing I tell people about good players, especially Tim, is Tim finds a way to shoot scores. And I used to play with a guy named John Hecker the same way. He just, no matter what was happening out there, if he was hitting good, hitting it bad, he always found a way to shoot a good score. He'd get it on the green. He'd get up and down. He'd make the, but whatever it was, if he couldn't hit the driver well, he'd drop down to a 3-wood and get that in play, or an iron and get that in play. And you know, with bad wrists and bad backs, there's never an excuse. There's always just a way to an opportunity to find a good score. And yeah, he's done very, very, very well. He's a very good player.
By the way, kudos to the Western New York PGA for putting some of the videos on Twitter. I was watching the playoff.
Hole. Yeah, I know. I saw cool. that too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we got a much better Twitter presence lately. Yeah, kudos. I'd like to say congratulations to the kids from the Western New York PGA that advanced. I know your son Jack had his regional from the drive, chip, and putt. And,
yeah, we went to Turning Stone on Tuesday night, but Wednesday morning was the event.
You booked the show there for next year, right? Turning Stone.
We're all going. Set. That's right. I booked around for us for next
three year. Three-day deal, yeah.
That's okay. Right.
Good job.
We can name the kids that advance, but yeah, the Central New York PGA as the West New York PGA, obviously, you guys are all under the PGA umbrella, did a tremendous job. What a cool thing to be at Turning Stone for that event. And yeah, my son Jack participated, and I thought did really well. There are some really good young kids that are out there playing, and congrats to all those that advanced. It was a cool experience. I hope at age 7 that he will remember it as a parent remembered it, in terms of just the experience to be in a spot like that. And as I said to you, Jeff, before we started the show here, when you were asking me about it, like, he's gonna get better, I hope, and I would assume with age he will, but you know, to be in that spot, to go on to that sub regional like that, right, that's not a guarantee. The only, you know, it's so few that move on, and it's because it's only 3 shots at each of the stations.
It's
like
a little bit of randomness.
Anything can happen there, and you know, you watch the kids that were hitting on the range and the green, like, wow, this kid can hit this, but one drive that goes out just a yard outside of the flags, and all of a sudden it doesn't count, and now all of a sudden you fall down in the standings, and you're not moving on to the next round. I mean, not that. Probably the majority of all these players could have been, had they done it the next day, it would have been a whole other set of results. But yes, I want to actually say the winners from Western New York PGA, and there were 3.
Our section,
yes, Lily Zhang.
Yep, who's a member at the Park Club. Really
moved
nice
on, so she's going to Wingfoot with a chance to go to Augusta.
Sweet.
So awesome job, Lily. She's moving on. Carter Hassenplug, also from the Western New York PGA section, he moves on. And Claire, I apologize in advance if I don't say this right, Claire Yulos also advances. So
they get to go to Wingfoot
from Western New York.
Oh, that's cool.
Go to Wingfoot. That's the Northeast now regional. This was kind of the state regional.
Right.
So they go to the Northeast with a chance.
But that's
to go
the
to
last
Augusta.
Step.
That's the last step.
Last step.
If they perform well there, and it's, you know, from the Northeast states, I think there's going to be about maybe 15, 16 kids there, and one of them's going to Augusta.
Cool. And I would give Lily a good chance, because I've seen her hit balls, so she's a good player.
And I want to add, both good and bad, I didn't mean to be this all negative, but I want to bring this up because we talk about it quite a bit. The experience there as a parent, obviously you're extremely proud of your child, son or daughter, that is participating, as I was obviously for my son Jack, but I consciously, because of our conversations here on this show, said, look, this is, Brian, don't, just, this is 100% about fun. Let Jack remember this. Let my father, my father-in-law, my wife came, like, said, this is all about fun. What a great experience. Let's make this as memorable as possible and in a positive way. And He didn't advance. I thought he did pretty well. He didn't advance, and there was a little disappointment on his part. I thought that was all part of the learning experience. We stayed to wait for the awards. I wanted him to see, hey, you don't get a medal this time, and that's part of it.
Good for you, by the
like,
way.
I wanted him to see that, and I was happy. He stood there and clapped, and like, I know there were some kids that were in tears, but there also were some parents that I thought there that were doing exactly what I know you always advise against, which is the overcoaching, the overhyping, the parent feels like they're in the tournament. Yeah. And I don't want to say that it was everybody. The majority of parents I saw there were extremely positive, did all the things that you'd want them to do, cheering on the other kids. But there also were a couple of parents that I was just eavesdropping and watching because of just our conversations. Like, I'm aware of these now and watching. And there's the drill sergeant parent. And there's the parent that's telling this kid who hits a 20-foot putt and misses it by an inch and then has 20 pieces of advice for him. And I just think it's so important to reiterate it all the time for all of us here that we, you know, obviously our focus is golf, but it works for every aspect of sports. Jack does soccer. Kevin, I know your kids are involved in a ton of different activities. Like, the over-parenting, the over-coaching, the pressure that they put on their kids, like, I feel like, is the word, try to find a happy balance? I don't know. It just, like, I was just, there was that little negative piece. I'm like, God, don't do that to your son or your daughter there.
Yeah, but, you know, and you're not helping them, you know? 19 thoughts in their head. And the pressure the parents put on these kids, you know, like you said, it's supposed to be fun. And when you're a kid in that situation, you feel your parents' tension, you know? As opposed to if you're relaxed and enjoying the moment, then they're going to relax and enjoy the moment. If you're tense and micromanaging, they're going to feel tense and micromanaged. And it's not making them play better. Giving them tips because they, yeah, in between shots is not helping them at all.
Well, in particular, the age category Jack's at.
Right. This whole group was in 7 to 9.
Do we get juice and cookies after? Right? I mean, that's what they, you know. Right.
Well, the other thing is you're telling them stuff that's usually wrong. You know, keep your head down. You picked your head up. Nope. You picked your head up. If that's, you have no idea what you're talking about, first of all, to be honest, not to be sound smarmy or whatever. So just let them go out and play and let their athleticism and the ability, you know, play the game as opposed to try to make swings and hit the shots as opposed to, you know, try to make the perfect motion at it. That's not what makes people good players. So, it's frustrating when I see it. I hear it all the time. I see juniors.
Again, I don't want to make a blanket statement. The majority of the parents were awesome and great and cheering my son on, even though they were competing against them and vice versa. And, you know, and the awards thing I thought was great, like just how they did it. But
and that's what makes golf great. You know what? Because now your son had a great experience, and he learned to be a gentleman, and he learned to sit there and lose and cheer on for other people's and comport himself in the proper way.
I think, you know, to go back to Justin Thomas's victory real quick, I think that group of pros is displaying great example of sportsmanship when they stick around to congratulate the winner coming off the green. They're wearing t-shirts, whatever, but they stay to shake hands with the winner, their buddy who won. Like, these guys like each other. They love compete. They compete. They want to beat each other really bad, but they're friends and they congratulate each other. It used to be,
let's make that a tradition.
Right.
Let's make that part of the tradition.
Right.
Of golf.
It used to be, boom, you're out of there. But that's changed with Spieth and Fowler, who hasn't won one.
Yeah.
He's there congratulating the guys when they win.
I remember vividly at the 2013 PGA at Oak Hill, not as publicized, of course, now with social media, it is more of what Spieth and Thomas and Fowler and all these guys are doing, Smiley Kaufman off the course. But I remember Keegan Bradley, who was nowhere near the top, stuck around for quite a while to see Duffner come in and win, because I know those two were close. I remember those two were in the playoff. Was it 2 years previously at Atlanta when Keegan got his...
With that long putt.
Yeah. Keegan got his... I don't know, maybe it wasn't the playoff. Anyway, they were neck and neck to win his PGA, and I remember he stuck around for Duffner, and I remember thinking, like, hey, it's rare, as you say, Kev, it's rare to see that on a golf course. Usually you're not winning.
Phil and Tiger were never sticking around to congratulate each other.
Well, they didn't like each other all that much either.
But I think it's a great point that you didn't win. You're not getting a trophy, yet you chose to stuck there and congratulate
them. Stay around and congratulate them. Yep. They celebrate together, which is kind of cool. It's really cool. So
absolutely. All right, time out here on Tee to Green. When we come back, we will get our Encore Golf and Cobra Puma Golf check of the PGA Tour leaderboard and our Absolute Care check of the PGA Tour champions and a look ahead to the playoffs. This is the last week of the PGA Tour regular season schedule. The playoff starts next week, so we'll break that all down for you. Kev will be working one of the events, so we're looking forward to getting his insight coming up on that, too, as we take a time out here. Hope you're enjoying TD Green. Hope you're having a good Saturday morning. Thanks for being with us here on WGR. It is time for our Encore Golf, Cobra Puma Golf, check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. Final regular season event of the season in Greensboro, the Wyndham Championship. And Webb Simpson, who came in as one of the favorites in this event, is coming through 63-64. He's tied for the lead with Ryan Armour at 13 under par. Henrik Stenson shot a 62 on day one. He is one back at 12 under par, and two golfers at minus 11, three golfers at minus 10, including Davis Love III, who just continues to do well when he plays in some of these PGA Tour events. He's half PGA Tour, half PGA Champions Tour of event player, but he was playing yesterday with Ryan Moore, who's won this event, I believe. I think
Davis Love won it.
Has won this event, yeah.
Not too long ago.
And he's out driving him.
Ryan Moore's not had a great year.
Yeah.
After having a great year last year.
Yeah. But Love doing well. And if you're watching this week, watch the red green number next to the guy's name on the graphics.
That's the more important number.
That's key, because this week it cuts to 125 to start the four event playoff, which will start with the Northern Trust next week. And then it'll go from 125 down to 100, and then down to 70, and then eventually 30 for the Tour Championship, Kev. But this playoffs, they've tinkered with the scoring a little here and there. It might get tinkered with a little more with the change in calendar coming up, but at least for the next 2 years, it's going to have this format coming up. If you're 126 versus 125, like that's a big difference going forward, and obviously even for some, it can be career-changing.
Well, 125 not only gets you in the playoffs, it...
More importantly,
secures your card for next year,
yes,
for full rights in the like. There are conditional cards on the PGA Tour. You know, they hold 30 cards for Web.com Tour graduates to get onto the PGA Tour, and then there's other conditional statuses where, okay, you know, the first it basically goes by the top 144 want to enter an event, and then if you're outside of that, let's say Rory's not playing that week, okay, now 145 you get in. So it's not you get your card sometimes where you have conditional status. You're not in every week. So that's why you see some players, web.com, pjtour.com. That's why you see they don't have all these starts. So, yeah, it's important to get to 125 because not only do you have to move on for the playoffs, make some more earnings, make a living wise, make cash, but then to move on to the following week to get inside that top 100, and then to get in the top 60, and then to make it to the Tour Championship, the top 30.
It could be a lucrative month if you get inside that 125 and have a good month. It could be very, very lucrative for you.
That's ask Billy Horschel.
Yeah,
no, that's right. He had his career time there, winning twice, and then the eventual FedEx Cup and the big $10 million bonus. All right, time now for our absolute care check of the PGA Tour Champions event this week, and they're not too far down the road. Endicott, New York, the Dick's Sporting Goods Open, and Kevin Sutherland and Wes Short Jr. are tied for the lead at minus 7. Russ Cochran, Corey Pavin, one back at minus 6. They're through one round, three-round event, and John Daly update is in contention. John Daly's playing. If you want to go see him,
been showing flashes.
Not too far of a drive down to Endicott there. He's at minus 4. He's three off the lead.
Yeah, it's about three and a half hours maybe. Yeah, it's not too bad. Nice place, too.
Used to have the BC Open there.
Yep.
It would be opposite of the British Open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Joey Sindelar from down that way. Yeah, there's a couple tour players from down that way, too.
Yep, so decent leaderboard. And like I said, Daly is right in contention there, minus 4. Woody Austin, minus 5. Sindelar, minus 5. You just mentioned him, so.
He's comfortable on that course, that's for sure.
Larry Mize, Calcavecchia, Pate, they're all within just a couple of shots of the lead. So a good event going on at Endicott there for your Absolute Care. Check of the PGA Tour Champions Tour brought to you by Absolute Care and Orchard Brook, affordable adult assisted living. As we welcome you back here, final segment of TD Green, Brian Colesio, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Metis. Let's get, we're talking so much about some of the other stuff in our last segment with Tim Freeze and the Drive, Chip, and Putt. We didn't actually get your official PGA Tip of the Week, which is on chipping this week, Jeff. So how about some keys for chipping for our listeners that are going to go out and play this week.
Yeah, chipping is a little. I'm often asked, what's the difference between a pitch and a chip? And that's a pretty gray area. Chipping's, you know, tends to be a shorter shot where you're trying to keep the ball low and get it rolling onto the ground. You make a shot more difficult anytime you try to throw that ball high in the air. So I always tell people, you know, putt anytime you can putt, chip anytime you can chip, and don't pitch and let if you can chip. That so you're always going to try to keep that ball low in the air. I'll take a standard 7-iron chip, for example. So if I've got a little bit of open green in front of me and the pins in the back, I've got a longer little run-up shot, I'll take a 7 or an 8 iron. I'm gonna choke up on the club. I'm gonna move it back in my stance. A lot of chipping and pitching is setup changes. So if you can just make the setup changes before you hit, you're gonna be more successful. So take that 7 iron, move it back behind center of your stance, stand a little closer to the ball. So move in closer as you would with a putt. I'll take the heel of the club and lift it off the ground a little bit. So I'm going to hit the ball a little bit more towards the toe of the club while I'm chipping, so that ball doesn't jump off a little too hot sometimes when you're hitting those longer chips. So I'm going to move the ball back, stand a little closer, get the heel up, choke up on the club, and then this is a one-lever motion, okay? I'm going to not have any wrist or any hinge. I'm going to keep it much like a putting stroke with just no wrist hinge at all. And the last tip there is to lean on my left leg a little bit more than my right. So I'm going to move my center of gravity in front of the ball so I hit the ball, then the ground. And then I'm going to think of it just as a putting stroke. I'm going to have it, you know, if I go back 8 inches, I'm going to go through 8 inches. People make their mistake. I hear a lot of people say, I need to accelerate through, so they have a real short backswing and stab through the ball. There's no feel. There's no touch there. You're actually better off having a slightly longer backswing and a slightly shorter follow through if you're going to air in one direction to have a little bit of softness in there. So once again, just get that heel of the club off the ground so the heel doesn't grab. You hit a little bit towards the toe. Stand a little closer. Move it back. Lean left. And have a nice fluid stroke. Keep that ball low. Think if you were pitching that ball on the green and trying to roll it as close to the hole as you could with your throwing hand, you would never launch it up in the air. You'd bowl it up there. You'd roll it really low. So use that shot. It's great when you're off the green. You got to hit it over hills instead of a flop or something like that. When you're tucked close to the pin, you can bump it into the side of the slope. You know, 10, 15 minutes of practicing with this shot, you'll add a new weapon, a new shot to your arsenal.
All right, very good there from Jeff. And your weight, you would want it more on your front foot?
Always on your forward foot, yep. Yeah, because there's no pivot in this motion. So you want to preset your into your left post, as we call it, to get that center of gravity in front of the ball so you hit the ball, then the ground. If you're hanging on your back foot, your club's going to tend to hit the ground behind the ball. If you're leaning on your forward foot, you're going to tend to hit the ball, then the ground.
All right, very good. The Western New York PGA Tip of the Week there, brought to you by the Western New York PGA, growing a giving game. Let's mention the Solheim Cup. It's the ladies' version of the Ryder Cup going on between the United States and Europe, and there's a match starting at 8:10 this morning. So I know that they have coverage of that coming up on Golf Channel. Christy Kerr and Lexi Thompson leading it off, but some names you definitely recognize: Paula Creamer, Stacey Lewis, Michelle Wee, they're all playing. The U.S. had a great afternoon session yesterday. They lead Europe 5.5 to 2.5, and it's pretty much the exact format of the Ryder Cup.
And they have all the makeup and the paint. They paint the flags on and the ribbons in their hair. Yeah, they look like they're having fun playing.
Yeah. No, the same as the Ryder Cup, everybody wearing the same uniforms, the outfits. Although Michelle Wee, they said yesterday, wore the wrong shirt, but she ended up... everybody else had on a different red shirt. She had on a different one, but she ended up winning anyway.
She missed the text.
Speaking of, you know, watching this European match play thing, I don't know that I'm on board with this T-shirt.
I don't like
the Nike T-shirt that they're wearing.
With no collar?
Yeah.
The blade collar, they call it. I'm not a fan either.
No,
you won't see my team wearing it.
I don't like T-shirt. It. First of all, I know like Koepka and Day and these guys wear it. I know that my...
I know why I don't like it, because I don't look frame, like those guys when I put it on.
My frame is similar. Right. With no collar, I feel like it enhances the chest area a little more. Right.
Yeah, I need a sports bra if I'm wearing that thing.
And you know what also had me thinking? If you still have a short sleeve mock neck golf shirt in your closet, get rid of it.
Yeah, that fashion can't win. Yes.
Yes. Gone.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Great show. Have a good weekend.
Yep. We will, club championship. That'll be fun to work.
Park today.
Yep.
I'm going to take the weekend off from playing, Jeff.
Wow.
After this week. Yes.
You must be burned out.
Yeah. Yes.
Your wife put the kibosh on it.
That's right. Recuperate.
Actually, you know what? I'm looking forward. I'm giving a speech at Fredonia tomorrow. So looking forward to going to my alma mater. Yeah. Yes. All the incoming students. So looking forward to that. Maybe I'll Facebook it live, Brian, so you can be inspired by
Blue Devils?
The Fredonia Blue Devils, yes.
That's right. I remember from my... Well, I think you and I both... Did you call hockey, too, for Fredonia? Because I called it
Absolutely.
For Brockport.
Yes. Matter of fact, the coach at Brockport used to be the assistant coach at
Jeff.
Brian Dickinson.
Brian Dickinson. That's right, Brian Dickinson.
Jeff Meredith at Fredonia.
Jeff Meredith. That's what I was trying to think of Fredonia's name.
I just remember
Brian
Coghlan's.
Dickinson. I will say
still
this.
There.
I will say this. The
Joe's a good dude.
The broadcast location for the college hockey broadcasters for Fredonia was...
superb.
Intense. Like, you're right there.
You're right there, man.
And it was loud.
Yes. The worst place in the SUNY circuit was Potsdam. Sam, did you ever go to a Potsdam?
Climb up on the fire
escape. You're like, your fire escape, you're like up near the ceiling on this little perch on a wall, and it's like 2 degrees in there.
Oswego's got a nice rink. I've seen that one.
Oswego
does.
Although when you and I did it, Kevin, they didn't have the brand new rink that they have now.
They did not.
The old airplane hangar, the wooden
That's
ceiling.
That's correct.
Yes.
Well,
Brian
and I, coming from SUNY Systems, now Linda Cohn and Steve Levy made a little bit higher than we've made it.
Oswego?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they've donated some money to that program.
That's why they're rinks.
I've donated some to Fredonia, but, not nearly what Linda Cohn or Steve Levy have donated to Oswego. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. I'm still paying for Brockport, by the way. No. But wonderful SUNY institutions have us here. So kudos to Brockport and Fredonia for all your tea to green enjoyment. That's right.
Great schools.
They are.
Fredonia. Go to Fredonia.
Go to Oswego.
You got the Oswego shirt on right now.
I'm soon to be graduate there.
There's no nuclear reactors, in Fredonia.
Stop.
So anyhow,
Joe, thank you. What do we got? Inside High School Sports at 10. Who's coming up at 11? Sal or Nate?
It'll be Nate at 11.
Sal's got another book signing, I think. It's got the busiest schedule in Western New York.
You're off next week.
I am. So it's you and Jeff are going solo.
We have two shows left.
Two left.
You're off next week. I'll be in Boston for what is now the Dell Technologies
Championship. It's our last time all three of us
together. Last three, the whole gang's together. So
it's kind of sad.
It's been real.
It is.
Mm.
All right. We'll hug in the parking lot later.
You got it.
For PGA Pro Jeff Midas, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. T to Green. We'll have it up on our on-demand audio very shortly this morning. WGR550.com. I'll tweet it out as well, at BrianWGR. Check out our website, T2GreenRadio.com. For Jeff and Kevin, I'm Brian. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Saturday at 7 right here on T to Green on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.